Hello, guys. You are listening to Together Forever. I'm Dumisani Mfune, and with me in studio is
Mandla Lupondwana.
The past couple weeks, we've been looking at money, your finances, and how to handle money in the family. Mandla, what do you have for us today?
After last time, we spoke about getting out of debt and staying out of debt, good debt, bad debt. Today, we look at money as a means to an end. I think it's important for us to talk about this because for a number of people, especially people who have a serious attachment to money, it's important that they see the figures in the bank account. It's important that they see it. For those who don't bank, who keep their money at home in some trunk or safe, they want to see the money. They want to keep it. Some people feel great as they watch the money accumulate. I know of people who keep money waiting for a rainy day that never really comes. It doesn't mean you don't prepare for a rainy day, but they hoard the money, they keep the money. And sometimes you find that they themselves aren't able to enjoy the money, they're unable to spend the money. They are living in conditions that would be less than ideal, but because they are afraid of spending the money that they have, you find that they think that the end is to keep the money, to have the money. Now, money is important, but it's not a means to, it's a means to an end. It's not an end in itself. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've come to the conclusion that no one actually wants money. People want things that money buy. Ask anybody who wants money. They'll tell you, I want a million, I want a billion. And you ask, what are you going to do with it? Say, well, I'm going to buy a car. That means that person doesn't really want money. They want a car. They don't really want money, they want a house. They don't really want money, they want clothes. They don't really want money, they want to go on a holiday. So it's the things money does that we want. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we lose sight of that because we are able to accumulate money and then look at the money, keep the money, and not get the things money is supposed to get. So money is a means to an end. It's not the money that you want. It's what money can get you. Some people think money can make you happy. So it's not really that money that they want. It's happiness. Mm-hmm. So nobody really, really needs nobody really wants that piece of paper. It's not that we want. We want what that piece of paper can get you.
The association with that paper.
Exactly. Because if you look back at a time, I'll make an example with Zimbabwe. There was a time when their currency dropped seriously. In that case, you find that the people did have the money, but they couldn't buy anything with the money. So even though you had the thousands and the millions, it wasn't doing anything for you. And that is a classic example of people who did not need money, but needed what money can buy. At that stage, they were interested in fuel, not money. They were interested in food, not money. They wanted electricity, not money. They wanted clothes, not money. They wanted cars, not money. Mm-hmm. So in life, we don't really want the money. We want the stuff that money buys. It's important that we note that. Now, this means to all the husbands and wives and parents out there, don't run out of food. Don't be without food when you have money. Don't be without clothes when you have money. Don't be without accommodation when you have money. Don't be without shoes. Don't wear some old shoes instead of getting yourself a decent pair of shoes when you have money, because money is not the end. It's a means to an end. So don't have your kids have poor education when you have the money. Use the money to achieve what money is meant for. Don't hoard it. Don't keep it in a bank. Don't keep it in a briefcase. Don't keep it in your safe and just watch it and enjoy the fact that it's there. It's supposed to improve the quality of your life. Mm. Secondly, use your money to worship. Now, I'm a Christian, a Seventh-day Adventist. And if we look at God, we realize that he doesn't actually need money. He doesn't even have a bank account. So whenever we give money to church, it doesn't really fly to heaven. It doesn't go to him. But we use it as an act of worship, primarily because when you look into Scripture, you discover God talks about the tithe being holy, which is 10% of your income. Now, it's not that he needs the money. It's not that he even needs the tithe system. It's just that when he gets the tithe, when he gets the 10%, it shows that he has you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it does. In addition to the fact that it helps to extend the gospel to other people who haven't reached it. In addition to the fact that you are able to minister to other people through what the money can do itself. But it shows that he has you. In life, we always feel that if someone were to say to you, "Dumi, I love you. I'm going to be your spouse. I'm yours completely. But you're not gonna get a penny of my money." You step back and you're like, what's going on? Not that you want the money. It's just that when you have the person completely, the money generally follows. This is why the Bible says, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Mm-hmm. So we generally treat our money that way. So whoever we spend on, we have our heart following our spending. Our spending could be said it's determined by where our heart wants to go. So when we are in love, we generally spend on the people we're in love with. You know, you buy flowers, you buy cards, you buy chocolate, you take them to the movies, you take them out. We spend, why? Because we love the people. Or you will buy toys for your children. You buy all kinds of things for people you do what? You love. So the issue of us worshiping God with money, it's not that he needs the money. It's not that he's going to use the money for himself. It's just that when he gets the money, it means that he has you. Mm-hmm. Because your heart follows your treasure. So at first, I would like to say, don't hoard the money. Use it to improve the quality of your life. It's a means to an end. Use it to worship God. We'll do that in our tithes. We'll do that in our offerings. And when we give our offerings, sometimes people ask, but why do we give offerings? Why do we give so much money to church? If it had not been for people who were giving money to the church, the gospel would not be where it is today. Mm-hmm. It would not have gone to certain places because it needs money. If it were not for people who are giving money, offerings, we would not be having this broadcast right now. We would not be having people listening to us right now because it costs money to be able to put together a program and say it goes out and people are able to listen to it on radio. So all of this costs money. And a lot of these things are possible. Why? Simply because a lot of people have put money into it. Come to think of it. If people did not give offerings, you would not even have Bibles at the prices that you have them now. Why? Because the bulk of the people who even work for these committees that do Bible translations, most of the time they work for the churches. Most of the time, these are people who have given themselves to the Lord. And you'll find that the price of the Bible is heavily subsidized. Why? Because of a lot of other people who have given offerings, who have paid those people's salaries, who have paid this and that. By the time you go and pay for the price of the Bible, it is heavily subsidized. Why? Because a lot of people have given offerings. So as you worship God, it extends, it benefits a whole lot of people. There are a lot of community programs that are run by offerings. There are a lot of relief agencies. And these relief agencies are funded largely by offerings and donations. So a lot of humanitarian work flows out of offerings. So as you worship God, you find that you touch people's lives. So worship God with the money. Don't keep it in the pocket. Don't hoard it. As you give it, you'll realize that it has a way of coming back. And thirdly, it is important that with the money that you have, you learn to give.
Now, in general.
Just give. Learn to give. It may be to give to the people who are less fortunate. It may be to learn to be kind to people who need. It may be causes. It may be individuals. It may be families that you know. Learn to give. Now, you may ask, why do you give? Giving does two things. One, it gets you to invest, and secondly, changes who you are. By saying it gets you to invest, people you have given to, either in big or small ways, somehow it changes the quality of their life. Sometimes we give towards people's uniform, towards people's fees, towards people's food. And as they grow up, you invest in that person. If you've ever met, because I've experienced this, if you ever were to meet someone that you once fed, or someone that you once helped go to school, someone who you once helped buy a uniform, that person, when they see you, you will find that their gratitude towards you is amazing. Because they see you as a benefactor, someone who assisted them, someone who stepped in at a time when they were in great need. And so you find that you are able to invest in the quality of other people's lives. You are able to touch lives in ways that other people would want to cannot. And you find that when you see this person again, when you see what your 50 rand, your 100 rand, your 1,000 rand did, it's amazing what it has achieved. It may not have been much to you, but it was much to the person. It was a lot to the person who needed it. So you get to invest in other people's lives. You get to improve the quality of people's lives. That's number one. And that's a contribution that very few people make. And not because they can't. You know, you find that most of the time we can, we just can't be bothered. We have other things that we'd like to do. So invest, it does that. As you give to people, it's an investment into their lives. And secondly, it changes who you are. As you learn to give, the elements of selfishness that walk away. Now, I'm not talking about people who are going to give and then they're going to call a press conference and announce to everybody that I've just given. That's not it, you know. But as you give and you see what it does to people's lives, it generally tends to change you. It generally tends to make you a better person. And it has nothing to do with whether the person is morally inclined or not, or religiously inclined or not. It just tends to change the people that we are. So, yes, don't hoard the money. Use it to worship God. Use it, give to other people. And when you do that, you'll realize that it changes who you are. It changes other people's lives. And it changes who your family members are, just the kind of people that they are. So money is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. Treat it that way.
All right, guys, you heard it. Don't hoard that money. Use it to benefit other people. Give it to the church. Give it to God. Let God multiply it for you. There are many stories, testimonies of people who have been faithful with their tithe and God has rewarded them financially. So God does want to bless us with our money, but we need to trust Him fully. We need to learn to help other people. Until next time, I'm Dumisani Mfune.
And I'm Mandla Lupondwana.
Thank you.